Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Sauce of the Scary. Derek Zoo, Jeff Wright, back in the studio. Jeff, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Man, I'm doing okay. It's been a busy week, but I'm looking forward to this episode. It's going to be catharsis. We're going to get it off our chest. We're going to get done with this franchise. Obviously, the people making it wanted to be done with this franchise, so we get to do that too.
Yep. Finally, we are here. I have been checked out for about the last month, but we have continued to persist, and now we're at the finish line on Paranormal Activity. This is the Ghost Dimension, and whoo boy, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to unpack on this one.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
But before we get into that, Jeff, I don't know if you have any Horror Reporter news, but I kind of wanted to combine Jeff H. Trailers and the Horror Reporter with a little Halloween news, which I thought might be something that would tickle your fancy.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Jeff H. Trailers.
So we did unfortunately find out that due to the global pandemic that's going on in the world right now, Halloween Kills, I believe, is the title of the movie.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Halloween Kills is going to be postponed for a year.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. So that is going to that's unfortunately going to take us away. But I think that does that not mean, and I may be throwing a lot at you that you don't know, so I apologize. But does that mean that like we're going to get those back to back next year, or will we have to wait another year for the other one?
I know that delayed gratification is supposed to be good for you, but I totally hope it means back to back. I have no insight into what Blumhouse will actually do with the movie, but since we control Hollywood through this podcast, I think we should tell them just go back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So the good news out of all that is that we did get a little teaser trailer for Halloween Kills. I did go back and double check to make sure that is the name of the movie. And I thought that it was a really good teaser trailer. Did you have a chance to watch it?
Yeah, surprise, surprise, I did. Halloween, favorite slasher ever. And I couldn't resist. So I did watch it. And man, I thought it was really effective.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to lay out for the listeners maybe who hadn't seen it. I guess that's a small spoiler, but you want to lay out for them what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about a minute and a half long, and we open with the shot of the girls in the back of the truck, like in the, what do you call the 2018 movie, like a alternate timeline or a reboot, or what would you?
Yeah, let's go with a reboot.
Okay. So we open up with the way that the 2018 reboot ends, with the three girls in the back of the truck leaving the house as it's on fire. All three of them breathing sighs of relief. And then in the next instance, you hear sirens from a fire truck. Fire truck goes speeding towards the burning house. And then all three of the girls are suddenly panicked, realizing that they're going to put this fire out and that Michael probably isn't dead.
I mean, Halloween has went with some really, as a franchise, has went with some really rough ways to kind of continue the story, including just kind of pretending like the previous films didn't happen. So in that context, you know, it's not perfect, but that's a pretty good way to continue the story. It maintains that triumphant ending at the end of Halloween, but it sets us up for some more. And Jamie Lee Curtis delivered in that little clip, man. She's at her scream queen best delivering the line. So, hey, I'm good. I'll be there whenever it comes out. If I'm alive, I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. And kudos to whoever's directing this. I feel like that as a horror podcast, we should probably be more prepared to talk about movies like this. But it feels like they either shot that during the shooting of the reboot.
Yeah.
Or because it looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so in fairness to us, I think we both kind of encountered this unexpectedly. But the creative team is the same. So David Gordon Green, and still written by him also. Danny McBride's there, and Scott Team. So same crew that gave us the first one. And honestly, this is the blessing of Blumhouse. Blumhouse has a plan. They know what they want to do going in. They've been doing it long enough to have learned some stuff, and they know how to save some bucks. And so I think probably what we're looking at is just adults in the room in a way the franchise hasn't had in the past. And they kind of, somebody's got their hand on the steering wheel, which is a thankful development for this franchise.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I don't know how many more they're planning on doing after these two. But I'm in favor. As long as this creative team's behind it, as long as they're the nucleus, then I'm on board.
Yeah. The creative team is going to give us one more after this, apparently. Halloween okay. ends. Mm. And it is currently scheduled to be released October 14th, 2022. So maybe we won't get the back-to-back.
Well, poop.
Yep.
It was a good thought while we had it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to take this moment to address the coronavirus directly. We need you to go away so we can make it to 2022. Okay, pal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you had your moment. You shut the world down. Got all the attention. Shuffle off into retirement. Go find, I don't know, swine flu and mad cow disease and wherever old viruses go to live out their final days. Go there. Enjoy your retirement. We're good now.
Yep. Yep. We appreciate you coming in and disrupting our lives.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it at all. In fact, you know, screw you forever. But yeah, otherwise, totally with Derek.
I was just trying to butter it up so maybe it would go away quicker.
Oh, and of course I ruined it.
That's fine.
I didn't mean that. I have Tourette's. It only makes me
sick. You think if we viruses. You think if we conjure up Venom Toby, he might be able to fight off COVID?
Well, so I want to conjure up Venom Toby to do an alternative dialogue for the film. If we want to start here, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, I don't really think you even need Venom Toby to do. I'll just do the voice.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. My contribution going to be just laughing wildly at the jokes.
Man, I hate to
start the review.
Yeah. Like, I hate to just talk a little bit about Halloween Kills and then go right into the thing. Have you watched any good? Have you watched any good horror this week? Because clearly we haven't with this movie.
I have started the new Netflix Ju-On series.
Okay,
I'm like four episodes in. And man, I can't get my head around it. I don't want to give spoilers, but it's English dubbed, which kind of gives it a surreal feel. Mm. It contains a plot element that I literally can't believe. I know literally gets overused, but like literally four episodes in, there's this part of the plot that I don't want to spoil that I'm like, nobody thought that was both horrific and unrealistic. And so I'm watching it. I'm intrigued. I will tell you this. I think my appetite for horror with money behind it has probably never been higher just because we're in this dead zone of new movies and content. And so I'm probably very inclined to like this series, but I am really wrestling with it for four episodes in. Mm. It's well made. That's what I mean by, you know, horror with money behind it. It visually, it's well made. It's hard for me to evaluate the acting because the dubbing throws everything off, you know?
Yeah.
But nobody is so bad that I'm totally checked out when they're on the screen. It's just an interesting thing. And I don't know. I'll come back and report once I've got it wrapped up. Or maybe we can review it. But the shortest version is it's a trip right now. And I don't know if that's going to be a good trip or a bad trip.
Mm. Well, I'm interested to hear what you think when you get to finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Oh, the other thing I've watched, which nobody who's listened to our podcast will be surprised by, I devoured the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
Ah, man, I've got to watch that.
The first episode is one of the most interesting things I've ever seen.
That's what I've heard. That is a consensus.
And I have a theory.
Oh.
So when you watch it, we'll get back on here and either review the first six episodes or you know, just drop it in a horror reporter. But I've got a theory that I think explains episode one. Man, every episode there is a banger, in my opinion, except the UFO one. Like, mm-hmm. It's just kind of standard fare UFO stuff, which I want to note that, like, I don't think the people in it think they're lying. And there's a detail in it that is really interesting.
Okay.
But it's just UFO stuff. Every other one of them is heartbreakingly tragic, incredibly mysterious, or there's two where you're like, how did you get away with this? Why has nobody come out with the evidence that, like, I don't know, that puts you in a lethal injection chair that is then hooked up, you know, you're then taken to an electric chair. So there's a solved mysteries component to two of them. We just need the evidence to, like, put the people away. I know I'm gushing at this point, but as a kid who grew up watching Robert Stack a lot, mm-hmm. I didn't know what would become of this reboot. Because there was a reboot a couple years ago that did not go well. And I think Netflix really got it.
Is there a host for this one?
No, you just come right into sort of a reconstruction and interview style presentation. Mm-hmm. What is killer is the music. It's not a straight port of the Stack era theme, but it's like some of the most eerie music ever.
Ooh.
So the music's great. I find myself when the credits are rolling just listening to the music. I may have some kind of problem with horror and true crime content, but still, I like that music.
Well, cool, man. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. I'll try to watch those as soon as possible. Then we can review them. Lord knows we need a win. So
yeah, I think these are wins, and I kind of want to throw my theory out into the world and see what people make of it. So let me know.
Okay.
Oh, and apparently we're getting 6 more of these fairly soon.
Oh, cool.
If the next 6 are as good as the first 6, I think it's going to be a triumph.
That's great to hear.
Yep.
You know, like you said, I had heard a lot about episode 1, but that really was as far as I had heard, you know, about how good they were. So I'm glad to hear that all 6 are good to great.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but some stuff to look forward to beyond episode 1. There's one of the saddest stories of a young man who just got left at a party by his friends. Mm. And there's a bunch of stuff outside the world of the show to read on that I think probably indicates we know what happened to him. We just need the evidence to come out. Mm-hmm. There's another one where maybe the creepiest human being alive on the face of the earth features prominently.
Oh.
And then the last one has a villain that I'm trying to think who a villain is that shows up in a movie that you just hate at the core of your being. The bad guy in the, I think it's called Lawless movie by Tom Hardy, like the mm-hmm. revenue agent.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a villain on that level in the last episode.
And, oh.
It's real life. So just some stuff to whet your appetite with.
Yeah. I was thinking of Hans Landa.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah.
That's another good one. I don't want to say too much more, but I am super excited to talk to you about it.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll get on those. I'll try to have those done by next week so that we can. Do you just want to try to make that next week's episode?
Well, do you want to postpone Twister for that?
No.
Yeah. You know, by the time we get to next week, it might be Patreon bonus content time. Maybe we could get both of them in.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's
true. Yeah, I like that idea.
If you're not a Patreon subscriber and you want to hear our thoughts on the new Unsolved Mysteries, I don't know, $3 for this month's episode, I think gets you in, right?
Yeah.
I think that'd be, there's worse ways to spend $3.
Yeah. Don't let Jeff's theory be an unsolved mystery to you. Go to patreon.com/scarypodcast and sign up.
Yep.
Cool, man. I saw a fun little movie that really, I guess, is like the next generation of Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day.
Oh,
it is. It's a Hulu movie called Palm Springs.
Okay. I can't remember which, but one of the podcasts I subscribe to, mm-hmm. an episode popped up this week that said Palm Springs is the funnest or most enjoyable movie of the year.
Hmm.
So Palm Springs on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Tell me more, sir.
Yeah, so it stars Andy Samberg and Christina Milotti, I believe is her last name.
Okay.
She is. Did you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
I did not.
Okay. For those of you that did watch How I Met Your Mother, she turns out to be the titular mother.
I just want you to keep trying different variations of that word. And I will play the game of like, do I need to beep this or not?
That's what I was about to say. I was going to go farther, but then I was like, no, he's just going to have to start beeping me. So Christina Milioti is her name, and she's been in, she was in The Wolf of Wall Street, she was in Fargo, she was in 30 Rock, she was in a movie that I'm a big fan of called Don't Think Twice. Anyway, she's a great little actress, Andy Samberg, J.K. Simmons, Peter Gallagher. Anyway, this guy played by Andy Samberg, he wakes up and he's at a wedding that his girlfriend is like the maid, not the maid of honor, but she's a bridesmaid. And he is trying to hook up with Christina Milioti, and in the middle of their hookup session, he gets shot with an arrow by J.K. Simmons. He goes into a cave. He tells Christina Milioti's character not to follow him into the cave. And when he goes in the cave, he wakes up and it's the same day. And so apparently this cave has mystical time warp, time hole powers. Christina Milioti does wind up going into the cave with him. And now they're basically falling in love with each other, reliving the same day over and over again.
Dude, I'll watch that for sure. I mean, particularly if you say it sounds good.
Yeah,
I don't want that trope to get overused, but as long as people are still doing good stuff with it, I'm ready to watch.
Yeah, it's a cute little rom-com. I think that if I hadn't have seen Happy Death Day or Happy Death Day to You, I think I would have even enjoyed it more than I did. But I'm a big Sandberg fan anyway, and I thought he did a great job with this, and I like Christina Milioti as well. So I was pretty much hooked, and they do some fun different things with the trope. It's not the exact same, you know, not the exact same stuff that you've seen in Groundhog Day or in Happy Death Day. So,
yeah,
it was fun.
Oh, cool. We can talk more about this off air, but I'm thinking of finally signing up for Hulu. So maybe that'll be my maiden voyage.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I think you get like a free week or a free month or something with it. So,
hey, Hulu, sponsor the podcast so I can
switch
to Hulu. That'd be nice. Yeah. Get on that, Hulu. We know you're listening.
Yeah.
They're afraid we're going to talk about Puka again. Kill their buzz.
Oh, Puka. Who wins in a fight, Puka or Venom Toby?
Nobody. Nobody wins. It's just a massive loss for everyone. I guess since we are kind of emptying the bag trying to avoid talking about this movie. Mm-hmm. I watched the Puka sequel. Have I told you that?
No.
Yeah, so this is one of the few times I've been betrayed by our Facebook group. There were enough people in there who were like, no, it's pretty good. It's decent. It's not terrible. Right? The spectrum. And as I've mentioned before, I have a problem. I'm a horror addict. And, you know, it's been dark days not in a good way for horror content. And so a moment of quiet desperation, I reached out and watched the Puka sequel. And the people in the Facebook group were not right. it really feels like making some moral compromise decision that not only was unsatisfying, but you live with guilt for the rest of your life. I turned it off and I just sat there quietly ashamed. And, you know, all the thoughts of self-recrimination go through your head. You knew better than this. You knew what this was going to be like. You knew what would happen, but you did it anyway. So, yeah. Hulu, we did talk about Puka, and I've got scars on my soul from that mess. So there was a conspiracy against me by Hulu, people involved in Hollywood or whatever, and even their dear beloved Facebook group that pushed me into choices I'm not proud of.
You hear that? We saw something scary. You've hurt Jeff. Mm. You hurt me on a regular basis, but now you've hurt the horror uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, the horror uncle went into a season of hibernation for a little while after that movie.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they're happy.
Yeah, I do too, because I was not. I was definitely not happy having made the choice to watch that movie.
Hey, have you seen Final Destination?
I haven't. Nope.
Okay.
I'll watch them. I will, but I have not.
Yeah, there was a request for us to do the first Final Destination movie or the series, and I put a stamp of no on that real quick.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe down the road, I wouldn't care to do it, but not back to back with Paranormal Activity.
Okay, that makes sense. I have heard the first one's really good, and then like it tends to be with franchises, it drops off.
But yeah, that's true.
I'll do it. You know, I'll do it for the listeners and people who have only betrayed me once.
You may have to get some guest hosts on those. I don't know. Or we're going to have to do it later in the year. I just can't. I can't go back to back with those.
Sure. That makes sense. Maybe we cover the first one and then do like a quick hitter summary of all the rest.
Yeah.
Like episode one, the first Final Destination. Episode two, all the rest of the Final Destination. It turns out there is no Final Destination.
Yeah, but even that depresses me just knowing that I'll have to watch those movies.
For sure. Have I mentioned that we're going to get another Paranormal Activity?
Yeah, man. I'm not. I mean, you heard my stance on that last week. I'm not watching that crap.
Well, I'll be happy to report back. Because you know I am. As I've mentioned, I have a problem.
For me, this was the final destination for Paranormal Activity.
You went through the wall and that was it? That was the destination? The drywall universe?
I'm in hell Narnia now.
Well, that's for sure. I think this means we need to talk about the movie.
Yeah. Let's pull the string.
Derek?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension from 2015. This is a good thing, Derek. We're at the end of the road. We've made it. Don't let your spirits be downcast, sir. You live in the bright, shining light of a brand new day on the far side of this episode.
It's true. It's true. Before we get into any kind of conversation about this movie, Wahlberg!
What? No!
Spoiler alert.
All right. Not that we should have a spoiler alert on this, because I want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it, but
it's like the kindest thing we can do.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I think we both had some venom last time. I have moved from venom.
I know that wasn't a pun, but man, that was really good.
No, I was trying to set it up for that. Because,
oh, dang it. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay. We've moved from personal venom to actual venom.
Yeah.
And I don't know how nobody in this family came out with superpowers.
Yeah.
Ryan, stop recording me with your camera.
I'm hungry.
where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Tom's creepy mustache?
Can we start with just the umbrella statement that this is the movie where they've clearly signaled they've given up on the franchise?
Yeah, man. I mean, at one point they give up on found footage.
Yes, absolutely, man. This movie is the found footage version of you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the enemy, the villain. This movie is the antithesis of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
They give up on found footage. They give up on some, you know, clever uses of technology. And they give up on being like a small budget, punch above its weight class kind of film.
Yeah.
Just everything's chucked. They give up on, hey, you're just staring at a screen wondering if something small is going to move. I mean, just all of it. All of it is tossed out of the window in this one. In fact, this one makes me look back on some of the others and say, oh, well, at least they were trying to introduce something. Like, I think it's lazy writing to say, oh, time travel. But at least they were trying to, like, move the narrative along or introduce something that hadn't been seen. In this one, they're just like, you know what? To heck with it. We're going to tie the strings together the best we can. We're going to charge you $8.50 to go watch it, and we're good. Maybe we'll spit shine it with a little 3D. You good with that? And, I mean, a bunch of us were. We went and watched it. Actually, maybe the thing that ticks me off the most, I don't know if you know this, but in the subtitles to this movie, or if you turn on closed captioning, the creature's name, Toby, is spelled with an I.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to make him like non-binary or if Toby with an I in some kind of like demonic language means something. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to go non-binary, they've spent a lot of time telling us he really wanted to be incarnate in a male body.
Yeah.
And look, Toby...
And he is a male at the end of this movie.
Absolutely.
So,
Toby's not the scariest name in and of itself, but adding an I to it makes it sound like the fun hairdresser at the mall, you know?
Yes.
And that's just not the guy that I'm living in fear of.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because Toby with an I reminded me of Typhoon from Parks and Recreation.
That's funny.
And I was just like, I'm not going to be scared about that guy.
Nope.
I want to sit down and have a drink with him. I think that'd be fun. But
yeah, or just walk down the street with him when he's amped up. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want to. I'm not going to fear for my life.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about how Father Todd sounds like the most non-Catholic priest name ever?
Well, so yeah, I've got thoughts there too, man. I'm not a Catholic. Right. I have family members who are Catholic, but I've never met a vocational priest. But this guy is just this guy on this film is to me what people in Hollywood would think a cool priest is like, having never met a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want Father Damien Karras we got Father Todd.
Yeah.
In his dad jeans.
Yeah.
Can priests wear dad jeans?
I mean, I think they call them father jeans.
Oh, man, that was right there. That was just waiting right there.
That's what we do here on this show, man. You tee it up, and I try to hit it over the park, out of the park.
Where I was earlier trying to set up the Venom joke, I'm now crushed under the weight of the unintentional father jeans joke.
I do still feel bad that I took the wind out of your sails on that one.
That's okay, buddy. I've watched this movie. There's not a lot of wind left.
So true.
That guy's just generic, like megachurch pastor as a Roman Catholic priest. And I just don't think it works.
Yeah. That was the same vibe I got from him. Is like Father Todd is the Catholic version of a Joel Osteen.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he gives his homilies by like bringing a chair out and turning it around backwards.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
He's the kind of priest that's going to rap after watching Hamilton.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody who sees it is just cringing to death. Like he kills half his flock. They want to blame it on COVID-19, but it's just they died from cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the first founding father who was a little bit rebellious himself.
I will tell you, he's so bad that it ruins, not that there was a lot of hope, but it ruins the like climactic confrontation. Because I was like, nobody's scared. Nobody's scared of Father Todd here.
Hey, put a pin in that for just a second. I've got a rhyme that I've got to drop, or otherwise it's gonna eat at me.
Dude, drop it. Do you want me to beatbox?
No, I think I got it. This is Father Todd after watching Hamilton. Yo, my name is Jesus, and I'm here to say, to get to heaven, I'm the only way. Word.
And like the crossing the arms, kind of lean back. Yeah. That's it, dude. Listeners, just as a side note to you, do you see what this franchise has done to us?
I'm broken, man. I really am.
Yeah, so like at the point Father Todd gets shepherd hooked out the back door.
Shepherd hooked. That's awesome.
I'm good with that, man. I was like, just quit wasting everybody's time, pal.
Yeah.
I was delighted when the little girl bit him.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, I guess I remembered it coming because, you know, he's like, to the credit of the writers, he's trying to be sweet. He's treating her with concern. And she just grinning at him. And I started grinning, too, because, like, she's about to bite his nose off. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her to bite his nose off.
Yeah. It reminded me of that scene in Batman Returns. Where they're trying to set Cobblepot up to be the mayor, and he looks at the guy and he goes, "Things could be worse. My nose could be gushing blood." And then he just bites him in the nose.
Well, that was actually maybe where that scene came from, now that you mention it. They clearly ripped off the Chronicles of Narnia, so I can't imagine they're not willing to rip off Batman.
And somehow the as we've often joked about over the last several days, the writer director of Venom got his idea from Toby, I think.
100%. It's so blatant, man. I couldn't think of anything else watching this movie. I had forgotten every bit of that. I'd forgotten the visuals. I had forgotten the 3D stuff. I'd forgotten the magic video camera. And so as soon as quote unquote proto Toby shows up, I'm like, oh, the symbiotes are here. Is this Ravage or is this Venom? And as you've been doing already, I mean, I just lines of dialogue in Tom Hardy's Venom voice just throughout the whole movie. It was like watching the movie with Venom as I watched the rest of this film as soon as I saw it. So again, that's another thing they punt on. And this is how it's the anti-paranormal activity. They're like, we're finally, you're going to see. But they don't like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, through the course of the franchise, we have seen some stuff, but they've doled it out in small increments. And the more they've done, the worse it has gotten, you know, sort of culminating in the boom tube from the Marked Ones. Mm-hmm. In this one, they just turn the spigot wide open. And it blows my mind that that's the choice, that they're like, you know, we've made it up to like 22%. We're not entirely sure if that worked really well. How about we go to 111%?
Yeah.
And so every scene is going to be filled with creepy, I guess, black protoplasm. Mm-hmm. It is much scarier to me to watch a young kid talk to an imaginary friend than to watch a young kid talk to a liquid column of goo.
Yeah, that the camera picks up, but the lady can't see right in front of her.
Except when they want it to.
Yeah.
See, that's another, again, just keep your own rules. Okay, so I'm going to go off the subject just a little bit, okay? But because this movie is Dark Chronicles of Narnia, mm-hmm. I think this works. And I think it's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. My favorite character in the Chronicles of Narnia, which I love, is named Lucy. And Lucy is on this island full of invisible creatures that are kind of goof-ups. And she wants to help them by making them visible so they can see each other. And so she finds a spell book, and she finds a spell in the book that's called, like, making invisible things visible, right? Yeah. So she thinks, like, hey, cool, I can fix this. So she does the spell, and these duffel puds come into visibility. But also Aslan, the lion who's the central figure of the Chronicles, pops mm-hmm. into view as well. And she's like, Aslan, have you been here the whole time? And he's like, yep. And she's like, why did you show up? And he's like, well, you set a spell to make all invisible things visible. And she's like, well, that's silly. You don't have to. You're not subject to that, because he's the big supernatural Jesus type figure
right.
in the Chronicles. And he says, you know, girl, don't you think I'd keep my own laws? The idea being that, like, if magic works in this world, it works because Aslan wants it to. And he set it up. And so he says, of course, I'm going to keep my own laws. And, like, in that moment, you get everything that I think is terrible about world breaking in a movie.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They didn't keep their own laws. And it's incredibly frustrating as a guy who's, like, trying to hold out hope for this franchise, knowing full well that I'm going to go watch the next installment again. If I make it through 2020, it's just incredibly frustrating to see them be like, nah, it's all good. We're throwing it away. It's cool. What do you want to see? You want to see it on the ceiling? We got it on the ceiling. What do you want to see in the ceiling to floor? Cool. Do you want us to pretend like they can't see it, but when we need a jump scare to frighten somebody with, either in the world or to try to scare the audience with, then all of a sudden we can see it a little. And it's just slapdash.
Yeah.
Keep your own laws.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. The scariest stuff is the stuff that you make up in your own head.
Yep.
And I think that's why the first one works so well.
Yep.
It's bare bones. You know, hey, I know that I've been a little critical of it just because there's not a lot that goes on in that first movie. But it, to me, it's still scarier and more intense by leaps and bounds than this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And in doing it, by turning the faucet full bore, they end up blowing some stuff that could have worked a little bit out of the frame, like kind of pushing it out. So what I have in mind is kind of the most sinister element in this movie is something like what happened with Katie in the first movie. It's this little girl who's slowly being corrupted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do it fairly well as an underlying theme. The problem is they piled so much garbage on top of it, because you have her outside and they find out she's burying religious artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the report she bit a kid at school. Then she bites the priest, her eyes turn black. You know what I mean? Like, there's a version of that would be sinister and would draw the audience in.
Yeah. It's called Poltergeist.
Yeah, this movie's, that's another one they ripped off. So Dark Narnia, Batman, and Poltergeist, which makes me think we ought to review Poltergeist sometime.
Yeah. I actually would like to review the original and the 2015 one with Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I'm good for that. I'm good for that. We need to figure out some kind of milestone and just make that a milestone episode.
Yeah.
But in the scene where we start realizing the little girl's getting corrupted, that she's outside burying that stuff and they stumble upon her in the bushes and are kind of surprised by her. But the thing they layered on top of it is so goofy, it distracts you from it. It's the black blob jumping from various patio pieces.
Yeah.
And it starts in the pool, I'm pretty sure. And I just wonder if they're like, see, Toby likes a good soak. I can't understand why he's in the pool when they first lay camera on him. But then he hops around like Mario taking down the Mushroom Kingdom. I just don't get it. I don't understand the choices.
Yeah, I don't either, man. You basically said everything that I had lined up to say, in this episode. It really is, hey, this is the last one, or so we think, so let's just do every horror trope that we can think of, and let's become a parody of what we originally were.
Yeah, even a direct refutation.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, like, even down to other horror tropes with, like, the sexy blonde that you know is going to get killed.
Dude, I didn't even have that in my notes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I hated that element.
Yeah.
She's literally there to be an object of
lust.
Carnal attention. Yes.
Yep.
And this series has had very lovely, pretty young ladies who were, or women, I'm not trying to speak to age there. The movie's been built on strong women characters who are lovely and beautiful and who you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not just do more of that? I mean, the family has a mom there. Why do we need the blonde to come in who functions basically in the movie exactly the way she's supposed to function for the brother who's staying over?
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I mean, you've made some mistakes, but you're just like literally better than this.
Yeah.
I don't need this to become Friday the 13th. I absolutely do not need it to do that.
And that's exactly what I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, okay. So we're finally going to get that sex scene on camera.
Well, they go back to it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's such a weird movie. It's such a stinking weird movie that, yeah. Well, hey, we've got to try to find the sex tape. Look, there's a sex tape. Look, we're bummed that we don't get to watch this sex tape from a couple of people who never gave us permission to view this thing that they filmed for private consumption. I mean, it's right. Yet again, in shades of my Puka catastrophe. I knew better. I care more. Why the heck do I do this with these movies?
Yeah.
I obviously am much more invested than anybody who made any money off this movie.
Yeah, and again, you have the loss factor, right? Like,
yes,
we have essentially been with these characters for six seasons now, and I don't feel any closer to understanding what the heck Toby is, or how he came to existence, or what the Witch Coven is for, or anything else. And I know that they were trying to put like the David Suresh character in this to like. You know, try to be like, hey, look, we're giving you answers, but you don't. You just give me a guy that's trying to mind meld with these girls.
Yeah, dude. So did you know there's an alternate ending to this movie?
I've read something about it. I obviously didn't see it, but.
Well, it's available on YouTube, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, I guess. But out of everything I hate about this movie, the time continuity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I could basically track the timeline of this movie up until this one. But once you have Dark Narnia open up in the plaster, everything's just thrown out the door. And so when I see Hunter, older than he has been in any movie I've seen so far, in the past, I didn't have a, oh, snap moment. I had a, like, throw my papers in the air moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even the idea that like young, I can't remember if that's Christy or Katie, but like when the little girl sneezes and past little girl says,
bless you
or whatever.
Yeah. They both do.
Do what now?
They both do.
Both of them do. I didn't catch that. And like, then they're like, oh no, I see toys and all this stuff. Again, that is not world building. That's world breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were like, oh, it'll be another cool element. Dude, whatever. It was not. You took like a spoon, and we're in this cup of water that's not really great, but all the gross stuff is settled to the bottom, and we're just trying to get through it. And you just stirred it up, and you're like, okay, now drink. And it looks like, you know, sewer water. I just dumb decisions creatively, dumb decisions writing wise, dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. The bless you was where I officially. I almost turned the movie off.
Yeah,
had we not had to review this, if I was just watching it for quote unquote pleasure, then I would have been like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Cause you're no longer building your world on things that could actually happen. You're just building your world on, oh, that'll be that. I mean, what have we been saying for like the last three or four, movies? That'll be cool for the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. And again, I'm very willing to suspend my disbelief. I still watch found footage movies. I mean, I'm your guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier to my enjoyment and celebration and willingness to come back to the next installment is very low. And so if they are provoking me this way, what does it do to the guy who's like, yeah, I like horror movies. But they come in and they watch it and they're like, you know what? You have betrayed my interest in your film. I'm done with you forever. Like, how's that a good stewardship of this thing you want to make money off of?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe Blumhouse can recover this, but I think they're going to have to do something like going back to the second sequel and wiping the slate and starting all over.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something that I actually, like, I mourned the loss of in this movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
If anything can be said positively about this franchise, it's that they have found creative ways to use technology.
Mm.
So just the idea of the camera at the beginning, you know, it was an old enough movie to think like, yeah, there are people who are willing to film every part of their life because they got a camera Jones. Then they add on that by using security cameras in the second.
Mm-hmm.
We get the Xbox Live thing, which I think is cool. It's the coolest part of a pretty bad movie.
Yeah.
You have, and forgive me, this is awful of me, but the guy I continue to call Proto Mika.
Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis. Dennis builds that pretty cool oscillating fan camera thing.
Right.
You know, that was pretty innovative. You even have the advent of the GoPro in the marked ones.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, they just invent a magic ghost camera, and that's supposed to solve everything. But it doesn't solve anything because, one, it's a MacGuffin or a Deus Ex Machina, right? It's something that can't exist that solves all the problems.
Right.
But then, two, it ruins the rest of the movie because, you know, one of the problems in the film that we've talked about is how, hey, you've got this footage and you didn't make the other person making decisions with you watch it so you could realize you're in a horror movie. By the time they're looking at the face of Toby on that camera, like a third of the way through the movie, you never spend another hour in that house. I don't care if Father Todd or whatever shows up to tell you it'll follow you. You're going to see how far it can follow you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they keep letting the little girl sleep in that room.
Yeah.
So the magic camera throws away the tradition of at least trying to find a cool way to integrate technology. And it throws away another significant element of being able to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah. Also, apparently, this demon only haunts people that like tech.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently, magic 3D cameras from the 80s that can see ghosts in particular.
Yeah, like, thank God. Thank God that this demon has a tech fetish. Otherwise, we wouldn't have these movies.
I mean, he could have done us a solid and just found that family. You know what I mean? With the family who's like really into still photography, maybe. Just something like that.
Ryan, paint me like one of your French girls.
I'm telling you, an alternative dialogue for this movie would be perfect with you doing that. That may need to be a Patreon bonus at some point.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this about the movie, because it's one of the questions I have that indicate I'm thinking too much about the movie. Are we supposed to be seeing Toby get stronger in this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that is the reason why towards the end of the movie, we can start to see him more corporeal than we can in the beginning of the movie.
Okay. Well, then that would make sense of why he can punch his hand through the chest of Dad number 7.
Right. Right. Which, by the way, Ryan is the only decent person in this movie.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I was ready to see them die, especially Tom.
Was it the mustache?
No, man, it wasn't the hipster mustache, but I was just like, dude, I'm so sick of these movies being one person has all this footage and they're like, hey, let me show you this crazy bat crap stuff that's happening in our house. And everybody else being like, ah, no, dude, that's dumb. No, he's got it on film.
Yeah.
Like, there's legitimately this, you know, this symbiote that's stalking your daughter, Emily, and you're not willing to believe it until the very end of the movie. I mean, I'm sorry, but you deserve to get your neck snapped. If, you know, if you would have done what you said and gotten the frick out of there long before they did, yeah, maybe he follows you, but maybe also you put enough distance between the two of you that you figure out how to stop him.
Yeah, or you go find the Basilica at St. Peter's, whatever you think the holiest place on the face of the earth is. And he's like, we're living here for like 3 weeks, man.
Yeah, you get somebody a little bit stronger than Father Todd to help you out that is going to put holy water on your teddy bear.
Yeah, I'm on the front steps of the Vatican being like, for real? Yeah. We need to get some stronger holy water.
Yeah. I'm on the front steps of the Vatican crying sanctuary like I'm Quasimodo in Notre Dame.
Also a more interesting movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, just another one. Another one is if you A, know what's happening in the house because you've seen it on the magic camera. B, you're going to make the choice to continue living in that house with a vulnerable child because of what you've seen on the camera. Mm-hmm. Is there any moment that you are living in that house that you're not watching through the viewfinder of the only thing that lets you know where the malevolent entity is?
Right. No, not at all.
I keep stepping over you. And I'm
no,
so sorry.
You're fine. You're fine, man. I mean, that's the thing that you stick to your side 24/7. And not only that, but how... And you tell me this, Jeff, because I'm not a parent. But if you know that a supernatural entity is after your daughter, are you not going to like stay up through the night and make sure that nothing happens to that child?
100%. And you're going to try to provoke it and force a confrontation and drive it away.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a creepy dude staring in your daughter's window, you're going to try to catch him. You know what I mean? Like, it's parenting 101. They just set up a camera in the room and watch the guy watching the daughter. There's a scene where the mom realizes the little girl is downstairs talking to the fireplace or whatever. And we're supposed to be able to see Toby creepily drop from the ceiling toward her, towards the mom who's up on the balcony, which, by the way, you talked about this demon only haunts people who like tech. This guy also only haunts people who live in MTV cribs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to see her on the balcony and Toby's creepily descending towards her and she runs off to get the little girl. There's no version of that scene that doesn't involve the mom carrying the camera to see what Toby's up to or the dad. Like as soon as the dad knows the mom got out of bed, we've complained so many times. Why would you grab the camera for that moment? This movie is the movie where you would grab the camera for every moment, but they don't. It's so frustrating.
Leela. We need a mansion. Make sure it has two levels.
And lots of stuff on the walls so I can rattle them.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, and I mean, this just goes into the narrative that we've had through the whole thing of like Toby's a dick. But this one felt more like, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass.
Do elaborate, sir.
Well, just the stupid pranks that Toby would pull. On these, I know, and maybe it's because he wasn't 100% or whatever, but like, I don't know. There are just certain times in this movie where I was like, where I just kept thinking, why don't you kill these people? Why are you not killing these people?
Yep. Why hadn't the midwives shown up and just put them down?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Thank you. You literally put in your last movie, oh, hey, these witches have portals. So if you know that Leela is the girl that you need to turn yourself into a real boy, then why the F don't you get these witches to take out this family, cut that little girl's hand, and get this thing over with?
Yeah, because the whole point of the ghost dimension, which, by the way, the wallpaper portal makes the need to have boom tubes to leap around places redundant. But yeah, the whole point is to get her over to the coven so they can... you know, get the drop of blood or whatever. You've got an army of Karens. Mm-hmm. Send the army of Karens into the house one night. I mean, we have seen that they were able to overcome gangsters with shotguns. I think they could take out Mustache.
Right.
It's a bummer.
It is, man. I mean, again, like you said before, just be consistent with your storytelling. Be consistent with your world building. This movie is jump scare for jump scare sake. We are loosely tying this movie to the rest of them. Consequences be damned. And if you're trying to follow along, then you're going to wind up like you and I are, and you're going to be frustrated because that's not what these movies are for. These movies aren't for world building. They're for the quick jump scare. They're for the quick scream. They're for the quick snuggle. Like, that's what they're for. They weren't, I don't think, to begin with, but I think that first movie became such a success that it became its own albatross.
Yes, yes.
And these, clearly, this brain trust did not expect, either didn't expect it to happen or didn't know where to go after the second movie.
Or third option, didn't just have enough integrity to say, we really caught lightning in a bottle, we're good.
Yeah.
I think the second movie works. I think
it does.
I think, and you know, if I had gun to my head, I only picked one movie to watch, that would be the one to watch. But at least by the end of number two, just thank your lucky stars or whatever for getting a win and move on.
Yeah.
We've talked about how sequels, the worst sin they can commit is making the previous movies feel less special. Not only does seeing Toby all the time in every form kind of ruin the mystique of Toby here, but this movie also galvanized in my head that from now on, I'll have to think about him as a cat in one of those videos where a cat's on a table knocking stuff off.
Yeah.
Listener, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just, I mean, you might be the last person on the internet who hasn't watched cat videos, but there's countless cat videos where a cat sit on a surface and it's just like, screw that thing and knocks it off, and screw that thing in particular and knocks it off. Well, that's Toby. Toby in the second movie is like, screw that pot. And in the, you know, in the prequel movie, he's like, screw that swinging chandelier. And in this one, he's like, you know, screw that Christmas tree angel in particular.
Yeah.
And so I've seen him be the cat on the table. I've seen him be the escaping puddle of goo from the pool to the lawn chair to whatever. And by the time I see him in this, jump through the wall into the pentagram or whatever that is, I'm just done, man. Like, I think if that Toby showed up in my office, otherwise I would normally be scared. But I think at this point, I'm so exhausted by him. I'd be like, what do you want, man? I'm so exhausted with you. Can you, let's just get this done.
Yeah. Are you here to eat me, Toby? Just do it.
Tell you what, I'll go willingly if you promise nobody ever has to watch another movie with you in it. We'll make that bargain.
No, Jeffy. There will be three more movies with me in them.
Listener, I can't give you this, but I need you to know that I wish you could hear the jokes that were made before we hit record in that Venom voice. At one point, I almost thought I had coronavirus. I was laughing so hard, and I wondered if my breathing had been affected. And I'm sorry. I know that is such a mean tease to give you. I just need you to know that that happened in the cosmos once upon a time.
It is sad that like people won't hear the conversations that happened between the two of us before we hit record.
Yeah, but the thing is, we want to have a public life. You know? There's like three people in the world who can do that stuff and continue to exist in public. It's Charles Barkley and Howard Stern, and maybe there's not a third. And
I don't think they're that bad.
Well, they would guarantee, I mean, I guarantee you they would offend somebody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And this is not a moment in history to be callous about offending people in particular. So anyway, man, let me talk about that alternate ending.
Yeah, so while we've been talking, I gave it a goog. And yeah, let's talk about it.
So we get this flash forward. It appears that the exorcism works. The little girl snaps back into reality in that exorcism scene that's all in night vision. And it kind of fades out. The blonde eye candy does not vomit Scorpion's acid breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the beard or the mustache guy. And so they're alive. So then we just leap forward 4 months. And there's an extended shot of the dad's butt crack.
Oh, good.
Because Mustache is filming it, trying to embarrass him.
Of course.
The family's moving into a new house. Everything looks lovely and wonderful. At one point, a box from the moving truck opens up and one of the cassettes from the tapes of Christy and Katie falls out. And there's a kind of a freak out moment. And the dad just curb stomps it to death. And he's like, no more tapes.
Sissy.
And so everything's supposed to be good, except then you hear, is it Leela?
Yes, Leela.
Leela say, my friends are here. And the camera turns, and you see young Katie and young Christy holding her hands on either side.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So then we get a hard cut black screen to a birthday party with, I think the wife's name is Emily, maybe? She's obviously pregnant. It's Leela's birthday. They go out to this big bounce house birthday party, shades of the Christy and Katie birthday party from the flashback or the prequel. The super prequel, the mom and dad proto Mika movie. And we get to the penultimate cutting of the cake. Leela makes a wish. Her dad kind of draws it out of her. And she says that she wishes for a baby brother. which apparently is supposed to be the human trafficking kid, Robbie, from the movie that he's in. And then the creepy Toby priest guy comes in and picks up Lily like he's an uncle and is like, oh, happy birthday, sweetheart. I hope it's wonderful.
Oh, geez.
And so I guess that's how they rope in the family that gives us Robbie to traffic Hunter later. I don't know what ending's better or worse, man. They're just all bad.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I guess probably I would prefer the alternative ending because I don't have to let my imagination consider buck naked Toby Frankenstein monster walking into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, this is apparently a naked dude approaching a young lady and then walking off hand in hand. Like, I would have been glad for my imagination not to have to contemplate that reality.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like it's a win either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we wouldn't see that ridiculous arm through the chest thing either. That was solely done for 3D purposes.
Yeah, man, the cheap 3D overlay. Which, look, it's not just Paranormal Activity that was giving into that gimmick, but that cheap 3D overlay stuff I've never seen in 3D. It's just another huge signal. We are giving up on this movie. We're going to throw everything in the bag of gimmicks at it, and we're done. Thank you for your $8.50 in 2 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So look, that's where we're at on this franchise. I started off with some movies that I really like and prompt some real positive nostalgia in me. And at this point, I'm just happy to give up on the franchise the way the people creating it are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, I was checked out three movies ago.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know. I think this is probably the worst one, but four ranks right up there with it.
I mean, that's kind of a dark but interesting project. What's the worst Paranormal Activity movie?
And yeah,
dude, I don't even know how to get your head around that one.
Yeah, I think you know that's I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you to rank them.
Do you have a ranking in your head? It's going to take me a minute to get mine around it.
I think I'm going to go the first three.
Okay.
So like
in order,
you know, they're in that order, 1, 2, and 3. And then 5, the marked ones, the one we saw last week, which even though I was down on it really bad, I think it is a better movie.
Yeah.
And then probably 4 and then this one.
Well, we're pretty similar. I like number 2 best of all.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go 2, 1, 3, then the marked ones, because it takes us out of the suburbs. It gives us some likable protagonists who are different. It gives us a different cultural context. There was a couple jump scares that got me. But then, yeah, I'd go number 4, then this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think since we're talking about the marked ones, I think I was just in such a muck last week. It's not a bad movie. I think if I could retroactively go back and talk about it, I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it just hit me at a bad time.
This movie series will do that to you, buddy.
Yeah, but I mean, you'll never hear me say anything positive about this movie. This movie is garbage from the word go. When they show the backbreaking scene with Dennis, and then it moves up to the bedroom, there's no camera there.
Yeah, isn't Toby carrying the camera at that point?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. And did they not add a sound effect to the death of Dennis in that?
I think so.
I just, those are the two things that stood out to me on that. Like, I get you think you've got to connect me to the movie that didn't involve the people of color, but you don't. And number 2, for darn sure, don't make Toby pick the camera up. And I don't need you to, like, spiff up the best death scene in the whole franchise. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But I mean, it even it even goes into, like, it looks different. That one scene where they go into the bedroom and Grandma Lois is like, oh, this is Mr. Kent or Uncle Kent or Pa Kent or whatever she calls the guy. And, you know, he's going to be your liaison to hell. And I almost text you, but it was like 11 o'clock when I got able to sit down and watch this last night. But I was going to be like, did they just forego this entire found footage thing? Because that doesn't look like it's off a camera.
Yeah.
That just looks like we're in the room with them now.
Agreed. And if we're supposed to be playing in world, is the camera literally floating behind the girls and nobody is distracted by that?
Also, why are you going to tape those?
For
like,
sure.
Why would you film Pa Kent doing
the grooming?
Doing the Oh man. Yeah, that's the right word for it, but that's the worst word for it.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, man, this is just awful. It's a sea of awful. Every movie, even number four, every movie up until now had some element that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for as awful as it is, we get that cool Xbox effect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that scene of Katie kind of mysteriously rising off the couch.
Yeah.
I can find something positive to say about even that point in this franchise.
Yeah.
This movie has nothing. It rises to the level of that kind of sucks. And descends all the way to, this is so awful, I want to take a shower.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Thanks for giving us the ghost dimension.
Plus, how are you going to end this series without Katie Featherston in it? Like, I know we've got child Katie or mid or like tween Katie or whatever she winds up being in this thing, but you don't have adult Katie somehow in this conversation.
Sure. I mean, like, you can time travel. Just have her walk across the scene, you know what I mean? The frame.
Or do the big family picture at the end of this thing, right? With like her and Toby and little Layla.
Yeah. Leela. Yeah. Yeah. Like the end of The Shining, only worse.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, dude. I don't know. But again, it just comes down to like we watch the movie, gather our thoughts, and record an hour podcast on it. And we could do it much better. And I'm not saying that because we're super elite or that we're backseat driving. This movie is just so bad. It's clear that nobody cared enough to try to make a decent story.
Yeah.
And we would at least do that.
Dude, you give me $10 million. I'm going to make something that that the fans of Paranormal Activity will not only appreciate, but be like, oh, thank God you answered these questions.
And you know what? You could do that as somebody who's been involved. I don't know that I could necessarily rise to that, but I can tell you I would not provoke and tick off fans of the franchise.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't make it worse.
Mm.
I'm good, man. I got nothing else to bag on in this movie. I don't know. I want to be the guy who's positive. I love horror movies. I've tried to, and I think I've legitimately found something decent about all the predecessors. What I said earlier, this movie has nothing to commend itself by.
Yeah, it has no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
At all. I've seen worse. Like, I think Bye Bye Man is worse.
Yeah, Incarnate.
But it's all kind of the same dumpster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sucks, man, because I really do think that they, and maybe this is a phrase that is used too much, but I really do feel like that they changed the game in 2009 when the original movie came out.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Or at least picked up the Blair Witch tradition. You know what I mean? Like, they had stepped into a world that had a lot still left on to offer, a lot of meat left on the bone.
And it's just sad that, like, I mean, it's a common thing that we've seen when we review multiple movies from like the same people, you know. I think we probably first talked about it with M. Night Shyamalan, but the more money these people get, the worse these movies turn out to be.
For sure.
And maybe it's not just money, but it's that freedom. It's that, oh yeah, hey, you've grossed almost $1 billion at the box office. Go do whatever you want to for this last movie. No big deal. Because we know we're going to make money. And you know what the crazy thing about it is, Jeff? Is domestically, this movie grossed $78 million. No, I'm sorry. Worldwide, it grossed $78 million, not domestically. But domestically, it made its money back.
Yeah. I mean, we do it to ourselves. That's the problem. We do it to ourselves. Yeah.
It's. I think that's why when you get movies like Us or Get Out or A Quiet Place or the first It, you know, from 2017, like when we get those diamonds in the rough, they mean a lot to us. And that's why we fan out so much for them, because as horror fans, we suffer through a lot of dreck. And, you know, there was a good couple years there, 2 or 3 years, where we were getting good content. It felt like almost every month, right?
Yeah.
Hill House, Stranger Things, the movies I mentioned before, Gerald's Game. We were really, everything was kind of hitting the stride. And of course, now the world is paused due to this global pandemic. But man, it just goes to show you that, like, even 5 years ago, this movie came out 5 years ago, and even 5 years ago, we were at the bottom of the barrel.
Hmm. That is bleak, man. I'd like to go back to 2015 and just look at what movies came out, because surely there's better stuff.
Yeah.
Surely there's better stuff. But I also think you have just sent up the Flanagan signal. We need Mike to get in the cave and bring us something good.
Yeah. So this movie came out on October the 21st, 2015. On October the 24th, my theater that I was working at and running, the Vaudeville Cafe, closed. Suddenly. Just closed. And I was without a job. And everything. And I will tell you that I think that Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension, is the worst part of that weekend.
Dude, that's dark.
Like, that's how much I don't like this movie.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
The only redeeming quality that it's had is the fact that I've been able to make you laugh with the Venom voice.
The Venom voice is perfect. It's the best part of this movie so far. Like, that's why we have to improve it. We have to do the voiceover dialogue.
Yeah, we do. But that just means we'll have to watch it again.
I think I could enjoy watching it with you making those jokes. I think I could. You know, Mystery Science Theater caught on for a reason. And we may not be as good as those guys. I say we, not you. We together, I may lower the average. But it would be more enjoyable than watching the dialogue they actually chose.
Yeah.
You ready to rate it?
Sure. Yeah, man. So let's see. Did we see something scary?
No, at no point did I find anything in this movie jump scary, dread scary, nothing scary.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you this, you know that it's a piece of crap when your horror uncle senses don't even come out.
Nope.
So, yeah, I agree with that. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you going to rank this?
I'm going
to
give this a fat bird egg.
Yeah.
There's no, like you said it already, there's no redeeming value to this movie. It's meritless.
I'm going to give this movie a negative 666.
They worked that into the movie. Did you catch that? Where it's like,
oh yeah,
6606 or something. That's so cool. Good job, guys. Good job by you.
Yeah, you're so clever. We are very clever.
I mean, maybe they're trying to flip us and get us rooting. Maybe they're trying to bring us into the Midwives where we're rooting for Toby. Maybe that's it. Because I kind of wanted Toby to just crush everything.
Yeah, maybe so, man. I don't know. I kind of hope that we get like a Katie versus Toby, like Godzilla versus Mothra in the seventh movie.
Yeah, the Katie supremacy. I'd watch that.
Yeah, where Katie realizes all the bad stuff that this demon has caused her in her life and goes after revenge.
Yeah, from the inside, like she knows how the Kool-Aid is made, so she has the tricks. Yeah, dude. Cool by me. We'll turn it into Freddy versus Jason, and it's basically Mortal Kombat in a movie. I'm good with that.
She has to kill Grandma Lois at first, and it's her and Toby.
See, Hollywood, free ideas that are better than the direct you're rolling out.
Yeah, for real, man. But I will say this, Jeff Wright, if those of you out there are trying to groom yourself and get yourself ready for Toby, and you don't want to have any blood splatter that would turn him into a corporeal being, I've got just the thing for you. Manscaped has just come out with their Lawnmower 3.0. And they are wanting you guys to have a little look-see at it. It is, we've got a great deal on the Perfect Package 3.0. It comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. And now this trimmer is top of the line. It is designed to make sure that you don't nick or knack or cut any of your most delicate parts on your body. Not only that, though, it comes with a wonderful smelling deodorants and sprays to keep you great on these hot, muggy summer days. And we want to be able to give you a little gift. Since you have been so gracious to take the time to listen to this podcast, we want to give you 20% off and free shipping if you go to manscaped.com and enter the promo code SCARYPOD. Again, 20% off and free shipping on the Perfect Package 3.0. It's the perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping with the promo code SCARYPOD.
Sign up, guys. It's the best thing you're going to do today for your self-image and hygiene.
Absolutely. All right. You've heard this is it. This is the chapter closing edition of the Paranormal Activity franchise for now. Lord knows when number 7 comes out, we'll be talking about that too. But for now, we're going to close the book on it. What do you guys think about Ghost Dimension? What do you guys think about the Paranormal Activity series as a whole? Let Jeff and I know. You can join our Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary, that has a track record that's pretty good, probably about 95%.
Just stay away from all Puka content.
Exactly. But go to the Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary, and come be a part of the team. Join the cult. We promise we won't make you cut your hand. But if you like it, I'll continue to talk in the Venom voice.
It's a square deal, man. It's a square deal.
It is. As always, we would appreciate it if you would rate, review, and subscribe. Give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's going to help our algorithm. That's going to allow more horror fans to know that we're out there and get those sweet, sweet downloads that we all need. And of course, we've already talked about it a little bit today, but if you would like to partner up with us and become one of our super duper fans, we would love that too. Patreon.com/scarypodcast. There are 4 different tiers that you can join, and $3, $5, and $10 a month will get you a bonus episode and lots of other cool little goodies and prizes. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we are out of time. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. Next week, oh man, I'm so excited about next week. Next week, we revisit one of the greatest movies of all time. And I know I say that a lot hyperbolically. I'm not saying it hyperbolically this time. It is one of the greatest movies of all time. 1996's disaster film, Twister, with the late, great Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. And can't wait to talk to you about that one next week, Jeff.
Me too, man. Me too. My kids are going to enjoy the rewatch. I'm going to enjoy the rewatch. And I'm going to enjoy hashing it out with you, man. I'm ready for more Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. They will rule the day they cross the extreme.
For sure. Maximum ruage.
Maximum ruage. I love it. But until then, thank you guys again for listening. As always, stay away from clowns in sewers, white people with teacups, and blind men with turkey basters. We'll see you guys back here next week.
Bye-bye, man.